time, folks!
Oh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
Welcome in to the fan-run studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Overtime is clocking in at 6:02. On this day, a certain day, Cole, in the middle of the week, a certain day that I always have to be reminded of, it's something that you need to celebrate.
It is Wednesday, my dudes.
Yes. It is Wednesday, my dudes. Welcome in to Overtime. We will be with you up until 8 o'clock tonight, winding down your hump day. Congratulations if you're off work. You made it through another day closer to the end of the week, another day closer to Tennessee's final home game of the season. It's almost sad in a way to talk about.
Went by very quickly.
Football season always goes by quickly, but I feel like it goes by quicker when you want it to be over quicker, and that was the case for the early part of this season. We were kind of wishing it would be over. You thought it was going to be really bad, and now all of a sudden, we're winning games, and we may be playing an extra game in December or January. Sports gods willing. So, for real. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, getting closer to the Vols, taking on Missouri. Going to talk a little bit more of a preview about that throughout the show. Got a lot of great stuff to talk about. NFL, NBA as well. Some trouble in paradise. Some trouble with the Warriors. Could it be crumbling before our eyes? Possibly.
I think maybe. It is. Maybe. Ooh. I think KD's going to leave after this year. Even if this wasn't happening, I think KD's gone anyway.
We'll get to that later, but big topic of the day, late last night, your late ball night. The Vols win 66-53 against Georgia Tech. The Ramblin' Wreck came up the interstate, and the game was mercifully over before midnight. Pretty rough game to watch.
Yeah.
Not going to lie, it was a rough game. Tennessee could have definitely shot the ball a lot better, could have taking care of the ball a lot better. You were clearly missing Lamonte Turner last night, and that was the first time. And even Rick Barnes said it post-game. It's the first time you really missed him.
Yeah.
And what he brings off the bench, being the reigning co-SEC sixth man of the year. But still, despite looking like butt, you looked like butt at times.
Yeah.
That's probably the most kind adjective to describe Tennessee's offense at times last night. Despite all of that, you handled an ACC team by 13 points. You won comfortably. You never thought that you were in any real danger.
Yeah.
And you dominated like you were supposed to. You smothered them. You held them to 53 like you were kind of supposed to. You were playing, let's be honest, ACC team, but they're a bad team.
Yeah, they are.
They're a bad team, and we know it. And they are a defense-first team.
Yeah, clearly.
So it was going to be a lower scoring game, but I think Tennessee thrives in that a lot more. And you saw without Lamonte Turner, without Derek Walker last night, I hope he's okay.
Yeah.
I hope maybe that's just like a one game deal with him missing time. With Grant Williams turning the ball over more often than he does, you had Jordan Bone kept in check the first half. A lot of things not work out great for you, but you still won comfortably, which makes me feel good about this team. I mean, some people have freaked out a little bit last night, but, man, it's college basketball. You play 30 games in a regular season, you're going to have nights like that. It's just a probability.
Absolutely.
Of you playing that many games. And for you to not have your best game and still win by double digits over a quality conference opponent, I mean, can't really complain too much. And now you got a big break, man. You are 3-0 through the first opening season homestand like you were supposed to. So nothing to complain about there. Now you got 7 days from today, actually, until your next game. Go up to Brooklyn. You take on Louisville.
Yeah.
Up in the NIT tip off. If you win that, all likelihood you face Kansas. But Louisville's going to be a good team. Chris Mack's going to get that rolling there. I don't know how good they're going to be this year. This is still a program just coming off of.
Yeah.
Oh, bunch of trouble last year.
Disaster, yeah.
Trying to rebuild it up there. So I don't know how good they're going to be this year, but it's another increase in the quality of opponent. It's going to be a game which you may get tested in. So it's a good thing you got a week to prepare for that. Even better, a week to get the players that you need to get healthy, to get healthy.
Absolutely.
So any big takeaways from last night? I thought, like I said, despite everything that didn't really go your way, despite a really bad game, it was just hard on the eyes. If you look at the box score, man, that's a box score that Konza Martin would be proud of. He'd look at that and say, oh, that's it. That is it. He'd love that. Despite all that, man, still won by double digits.
Yeah.
There wasn't any unnecessary drama, so I don't know what the big takeaways are.
There really aren't any big takeaways. I mean, the only thing that I really took away was we need Lamonte Turner out there. It looked funky because I was at the game, and it looked funky on our first couple offensive possessions. It was just like Jordan Bone could not shake the guy guarding him at the top of the key.
Alvarado.
Shut him down. Yeah. That little halfway man-to-man 2-3 zone that they were running, it worked. It worked on him there for a little bit. I think they brought it down to like 4 points before halftime. I may be wrong, but I know it was cut pretty close right before halftime. Then obviously in the second half, Tennessee takes the game and ends up winning.
Yeah, they cut a little close in the first half, and then you closed out the first half strong, led by 8.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you're facing Georgia Tech, you're up by 8, you should probably hold that. And you did, and you expanded on that lead. But, yeah, Alvarado, we talked about yesterday, that was going to be the first real defensive test going up against Jordan Bone. He did his job in the first half, but then you saw adjustments made in the second half.
And Jordan started doing his thing.
You saw this newfound aggressiveness from Jordan Bone, which I just love to see.
Man, I swear Jordan Bone just floats in the air. He floats in the air. When he takes his – have you ever watched him closely take a jump shot? He just floats in the air for about 3 seconds.
I mean, he's just a fantastic athlete.
Absolutely.
And you saw a lot of that more on display in the second half. Going up against a really good defensive point guard like Jose Alvarado, I was kind of concerned if he was going to get to that double-digit mark for the third straight game. Mm-hmm. He did it, finished with 15. Very quality game. And despite Grant Williams having an un-Grant game at times, 22-8. And also added 3 assists as well. But, man, the unsung hero here. Well, not really unsung because he was a pretty talked about guy last night. Only finished with a point, but John Fulkerson.
Yeah.
He does things there more than just scoring.
That monstrous block he had. Oh, my goodness.
Two really good ones. And just flying around the court.
Yeah, the hustle play was what caught my eye the most. Diving around for balls, you know, getting in the middle of the scraps. Like, I loved it. I loved seeing that out of Fulkerson.
Do you think the Tennessee Athletics should trademark the Incredible Folk?
I don't know.
They should go ahead and trademark it just in case. Folk Smash?
Fultz. That was Markel Fultz. So, maybe. I don't know. I was trying to think of anybody else who might have a similar name.
Hopefully Marvel doesn't sue you for trying to rip off the Hulk. R.I.P. Stanley. I haven't even got to mention on the area. I know it's been a couple days, but R.I.P. to Stanley.
Yeah.
Just had to put it out there.
Another takeaway I had from last night is guys like Admiral and Jordan Bowden pump faking when they're getting the ball instead of catching and shooting. I noticed that a lot, and I don't know if that's coming from Barnes to, hey, don't shoot as much, but when I thought of that, I was like, that wouldn't make sense saying that to Jordan Bowden because he's a shooter. A lot of times Jordan Bowden would get the ball at the three. Looks like he has a pretty decent opportunity at taking that shot, but he'd pump fake and drive, or he'd pump fake and dish it. So it just seemed to me that Jordan Bowden was not shooting as much as he normally would.
He did not have a good game from the field last night.
I know he was a monster on the boards.
He had
seven
or
11. 11? Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah, he fished with 11, man. But only 5 points, only 1-6 from the field. You hope that's not something you see kind of continue because that was his big issue near the tail end of last season. He just started to get cold from the field, man. Now, granted, he would still be great on defense.
Great defensively, yeah.
And he's going to be your best defensive guard But he had some shooting issues.
Definitely.
But the first two games of the regular season, he didn't have that. He was efficient. And then last night kind of took a step back. But yeah. The whole team kind of took a step back from the field, even Admiral, 3 of 13. Ugh.
Yeah, not look good.
But, hey, like I said, you got over a week to fix things.
And my main thing, and it drove me absolutely ballistic.
What's that?
Make your damn free throws.
That was bad.
We would have won that game by 20 if we would have made our bad. Free throws. It was ridiculous.
You miss ones you shouldn't have.
No, not at all. They're free for a reason. Yeah. A, B, free throws win ball games. I preach that. When I'm help coaching with my little brother with his team with my dad, I preach one thing. Free throws win ball games.
Do you chew their ass out?
No. I'm not like
Do you ever get so mad like you're like some of these coaches get so mad and start sweating, you just need the towel. You need to sit down. Get the towel around you.
It's frustrating. this was like 2 or 3 years ago, but it was pretty frustrating, I'm not gonna lie.
That frustrated me too. Free throws missed will always drive a man mad.
It's just I don't understand.
Because like you said, free throws. You're in there for a reason. I think just a lot of uncharacteristic things happened.
And the amount of times that Georgia Tech fouled Tennessee and the amount of free throws that we missed was just...
You shot 38.
It was dumb.
What's the actual percentage? You hit around 63% at 24-38.
That's not as many as I thought it was, but still.
You still should make more.
That's 14 extra points.
Yeah, you need a lot more than that. I think the biggest takeaway is you had some things that usually you wouldn't see happen to a team that's supposed to be this good like you are this year against an opponent like Georgia Tech. But even though that happened, that's, you know, the positive takeaways you can get from that is, A, you still won by double digits,
yeah.
And it was comfortable in the very end, even though the game was frustrating. And two, it's college basketball. You're going to have games like that. You'd rather these happen early in games that you can still win, fixable mistakes, fixable issues, like free throws, like working on
absolutely.
Your free throws.
I guarantee you they'll be shooting a lot of free throws in the next couple of practices.
You'd rather have that happen early in these games versus it creep up on you if you're in, like, let's just say next week you get in a tight game with Kansas and you have to make every bucket. It's better to go ahead and have that pop up. Cole, you were also at the game last night. Any big takeaways from you having that in-person view?
I wouldn't say any big takeaways, no. We definitely didn't play to our potential, that's for sure. I thought we looked a little sluggish in a way at times. I don't know. It was disappointing to see that we didn't play better. I mean, you know, there's a lot of hype around this team. They're number five for a reason. They got the talent. It's just, I don't know, it's kind of like they played down to their opponent because I feel we're a lot better than Georgia Tech is.
Yeah, and it almost kind of seems like, you know, this was the fastest team they have played this season. Mm-hmm. Like, they've gone Louisiana Lafayette.
And Lenoir Ryan.
And Lenoir Ryan. If you want to include Tusculum. But, I mean, that definitely Georgia Tech was, well, A, they're an ACC team, but definitely Georgia Tech was the fastest team this basketball team has seen all season. So that might have like affected them a little bit, but I mean it shouldn't have affected them that much. But it was good to see, I will say, positive, that when we're not playing to our full potential, that the team can still find a way to win.
Yeah.
And that's a good confidence.
And it's just a sign of a good basketball team.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you can still have this stuff go against you, you can face adversity mid-game. And like some other stuff too. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure they knew it was a possibility, but James Banks, that Texas transfer, getting that waiver granted by the NCAA, they fly him up on a plane. He gets up there and plays. I mean, he was a good player at Texas. Like you were telling me, 39 blocks his freshman year.
39 blocks his freshman year, second highest on the team. That's incredible.
And you weren't really expecting to have to play him. And with this current Georgia Tech roster, he may be the overall best player they have.
He almost threw one down on – it was either Kyle or Folky. He almost threw one down. Thankfully, it rimmed out. He missed the dunk, but he almost threw one down, and it was vicious.
Yeah.
It was vicious.
Hey, I mean, you took care you took care of business against a team who they're going to be a scrappy bunch this year. They're not going to be a good team, Georgia Tech is. They're going to be a scrappy bunch. Josh Pastner, by the way, what the hell is going on with his hair?
That was disgusting.
I don't, that's
that is an embarrassing-looking man out there. I am sorry. And the dude's not that old. He's not supposed to be having hair issue like that.
No.
Hey, Josh, get some Rogaine, buddy. Rogaine, just for men, it's not that hard.
That's why they make it.
It's not that hard. But you won by a bigger margin than you did when you played these guys in Atlanta last year, and they were a 13-win team last year. You won by 7 last year. By 13 this year, you know, it's an improvement. Some things went against you. I mean, nothing really negative to take away for the most part.
No. No.
You were shooting over 50% from the field in your first two games. You're not going to do that.
I thought we were going to blow them out because in like the first 3-4 minutes of the game, I was watching Georgia Tech's offense, and they honestly looked like they were confused. Like they had no idea what they're doing. At one point, I saw it because it was on corner that was closest to me, and they had Shambari Phillips and another guard sitting in the same corner. I'm just like, what are you doing?
That first three Shambari Phillips took was terrible. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was watching a replay of the game just before
it was
we
a
came
brick.
In here.
It was a brick.
Awful. For anything good that Georgia Tech, to their credit, did on defense, they had an atrocious offense.
And you,
atrocious.
Obviously, I can't confirm this, but I have a good feeling that he went into this game tonight saying that he was going to be splashing from deep, trying to prove himself. That did not happen. What do you wind up with? A whopping
two
points? Nice.
Two.
Nice.
It's like an out.
Nice.
Nice try, Shambari. Good effort. You didn't come through, buddy.
No.
Did not come through. 865-546-8200. Great show today on this Wednesday. Call in on the McKinney team phone lines here. Hit this first break of the program. Overtime continues here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Back on the show, 865-546-8200. If you want to get on here, make your voice heard on this Wednesday edition of OT. Going around here to some stuff we didn't get to talk about yesterday. Let's go to the big news in the NFL. I almost said Benny Snell because we were talking about that Snell. What was the news? About the
Snell
Young,
wins AL Cy Young.
Okay.
Blake Snell.
Yeah.
Not Snell.
That tripped me out there for a second.
But Le'Veon Bell. Not going to play this year. Not going to play this year. How about this news today coming out of the Steelers locker room here? Players with the Steelers, they rummaged through his locker. They removed his number 26 nameplate after today's practice.
Ooh.
Forfeited his season, forfeited the $14.5 million on his franchise tag because he did not report to team headquarters on Tuesday. Left that locker with a bunch of stuff, according to this ESPN piece. Left behind some cleats, shirts, and a CD labeled Le'Veon Bell number one. I wonder what songs are on that CD.
No idea.
I wonder what a Le'Veon Bell mixtape sounds like.
Mo Bamba.
It's Mo Bamba, Mo Bamba, Bamba, and Mo Bamba. What's that song called again, DB?
Mo Bamba. Were you going to continue talking about Mo Bamba?
Oh, I just said I forgot what the song title was.
I actually saw something earlier, and it said that Big Ben had texted him yesterday, to which he got rejected. No response.
Got no left response. On red, man.
Got left on red.
Yikes.
You hate to see it.
So they tried. They definitely tried, as I'm sure we all know here. His teammates have definitely tried.
Mm-hmm.
No, Juju has. Ben has. I know his offensive line have been very vocal and very public with how they feel about the whole situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get some quotes here from his teammates. This is what Cameron Hayward had to say. He said, "It sucks when the guy doesn't have to answer his own questions. If they aren't on the team, I'm not worried about it." He was asked about Le'Veon Bell. Yeah, he's kind of fed up. Just get back to football. That's all we can do. Wish him the best. This train doesn't stop for anyone. Got Ramon Foster, VFL. He took a business-like approach to being asked about Le'Veon Bell. He said, "Save your money, get a lot of information on what we're trying to do moving forward, and that way stuff like this doesn't happen. We We fall short on things because guys get selfish or guys say, hey, yeah, we're going to take a deal. Hmm. What's our overall thoughts on this? Dumb move by Le'Veon setting out the whole season or a smart business move?
Kind of figured that if he wanted to play, he would have showed up by now. Yeah. Like he would have showed up week two.
You thought he was going to. That seems like that was all the signs, all the little writing on the wall is that he was going to play half the season. He left Florida, went back up to Pittsburgh. He was seen in gyms up there around Pittsburgh.
I thought he was in L.A. Well, I saw a video.
Well, he went to Pittsburgh first. I know he was in Pittsburgh first. He may have went back out to L.A., though. But he had all, like, the weird tweets.
Yeah.
Thought he was going to come back. And now, yeah. Forfeited the entire season. So, good business move on Bell's part, or selfish move from a player perspective? Because, man, I think the Steelers are one of the best organizations you can play for.
Yeah.
If you're an NFL football player, that's an organization that you're going to get so much good guidance. You're going to have people that are there for you. And not saying that's not the way it is in other franchises, but just the Steelers had that history.
Yeah.
They'll take care of you. You're going to be in a good system.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he's just like, nope, don't want to do that. I think I should have been getting more money for what I bring to the table, which
if now I don't know if they should.
Yeah, I don't either.
I mean, they got a pretty good running back in James Conner.
Yeah,
right now.
They're doing great without him.
I mean, how much more money per season is he really looking for? I mean, how much more than $14.5 million?
I think he definitely wants to be paid more than Saquon is.
How much is he getting?
I think he's the second highest paid running back behind Todd Gurley. Are you going to fact check that for me? Thank you.
Which just tells you about what NFL franchises and GMs think about the running back position. Mm-hmm. You're going to have great running backs. They're important, sure, but
they only like those years where they are just killing it. They only last like 3 to 5 years, maybe.
They are a perishable item at the grocery store. Yeah. Is what they are, and you hate to say that about some of these really talented players, but average amount of a running back career in the NFL, it's not that long. It is not that long. You're looking at a handful of seasons, and even if you're among the elite, you're not going to last that long. Mm-hmm. You're not going to play too long. I know why Bell and his agent in his camp thought he deserved the money, and certainly more than Saquon Barkley. I understand that's because, hey, he's more than just a running back.
Well, maybe during training camp, like I could have, but after the season started and James Conner started doing what he's doing, it's just like, do the Steelers even need Le'Veon?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't look like it.
You really see what his value is.
James Conner's a lot younger, too.
Yeah, exactly. So now, it's if Le'Veon was going to make that business decision, Steelers are going to do the same thing. It's okay. Look at how little we're paying for James Conner here, still in his rookie deal, and he's doing fantastic things for us. He's doing almost the exact same type of things you did for us. Not at as elite of a level, but he's doing it good enough to where he's doing it good enough to where the Steelers are on a roll.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
And they're looking like a far cry from the type of team they were to start the season.
Yeah, like will they start 1-2-1?
It was bad.
And I was just like, oh, Steelers are.
You tie the Browns out of the gate, man.
When they started 1-2-1, I was like, pay Le'Veon. Mm-hmm. You guys obviously need Le'Veon. And then they, what was it, seven game win streak?
Something like that.
Incredible. I'm excited to see where Le'Veon ends up. I've heard the Jets. I could see him maybe going out, joining the 49ers. They don't have a consistent running back.
Mm-mm.
I know Matt Breida did pretty well the other night. But
it's so clear for him. It's all about his money and
paycheck,
a business decision here. So he can probably go to one of the crappier teams like the Jets or the 49ers. Mm-hmm. He's not going to care as long as they cut the damn check.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm reading the story now about Big Ben being left on red, man. Said he texted him before the 4 p.m. reporting deadline yesterday. Did not hear back. Big Ben texted him saying, I hoped he was going to show up, and if he decided not to, I wished him nothing but the best. He was a great teammate and football player. Man. It doesn't look like he's harboring any ill will, at least out to the media. He said to each their own on what they want to walk away from. That actually kind of sounds passive aggressive.
Yeah,
okay, buddy, walk away from this organization. I'd love to play for the Steelers if I was a football player. There's those handful of franchises that you would just be set for, at least from an organizational standpoint. That'd be the Steelers, Patriots, Saints. Who am I missing?
No.
You disagree with that?
Yeah. Cowboys, that's one for you. Giants, yeah, maybe.
But I'm also thinking of teams that like win consistently. I don't know.
Giants have won 2 Super Bowls in the past 10 years, hasn't it? Maybe
since 2011. 12. But then again, the Steelers haven't won one since the 08 season. So
Packers, that's one.
Yeah, oh, for sure the Packers. Maybe Seahawks?
Maybe.
Possibly. I don't know.
A lot of play for the Titans.
Of course you would.
Not even being biased. Just like a great city.
Cole, what did you find out, by the way?
So, yeah, Todd Gurley is the highest paid running back after he signed that 4-year contract.
Deservedly so. Worth, he deserves to be the highest
paid. Worth up to $60 million with $45 mil guaranteed. But right here, so that's just $15 mil a year, and then Le'Veon's right behind him at $14 mil, $544 million. So, I mean, I don't think Le'Veon is as good as Todd. I mean, he's good. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, no, definitely not.
But if he's looking for more money than that, he's not going to find it.
I think Todd Gurley secured his spot as the best running back in the league.
I don't think he's going to get paid more than Todd because he's not worth more than Todd. So if that's what he's looking for, it's not going to happen.
No. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure Todd Gurley is younger.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, he is.
He is. Gurley got drafted in what, 14, 15? No, it's 15. He got drafted in 15. Yeah.
When did Le'Veon? 2 years before?
I feel like it was like 13, probably.
I mean, the gap between Le'Veon and number 3, Devontae Freeman. Freeman's at $8.25 million.
Jeez.
And then LeSean McCoy.
2013, yeah.
Wow. And then Saquon's number 5. Hmm. Just under 8.
Le'Veon's 26 years old. By the time next season rolls around, he's going to be 27. Like, the running backs are not elite until their 30s, man. There's only a few examples of that happening. I think of Emmitt Smith. I don't even know Walter Payton was getting to his 30s. Like, there's so few examples of that.
Yeah.
Frank Gore somehow still played until, like, his 30s. Not like he was elite until his 30s, but sometimes he's still playing.
He's still playing, isn't he?
He's on the Dolphins.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, he's found a way to keep playing. He's not elite, though. But
No.
You only have that certain window for good play from running backs.
But back to your original question, I think it's very selfish. Very, very selfish. You're telling me you're turning down $14.5 million for – I mean, I know you think you can get more money. Maybe a little bit more.
I would kill to be offered $14.5 million.
And he'll end up getting more, but – He will trade in being on a good team and being successful.
Exactly.
That's why he's going to end up trading, because he'll probably go to a really bad team.
I mean, what team's going to want that guy now? If we don't pay him, he's not going to play.
They're going to want his talent.
I mean, what?
They might not like his attitude.
Yeah.
What
they're
going to
want that talent.
What team's going to want him as a teammate?
We will see. That's going to be one of the more interesting stories to follow when it comes to players moving around here. 865-546-8200. Got to hit this next break here. Overtime rolls on after this. Segment's brought to you by the McKinney team with Keller Williams Realty. Travis and Emily McKinney understand that buying or selling a home is a life-changing experience. That's why they have developed a team of highly seasoned real estate professionals dedicated to providing exceptional personalized services for all of their clients. The McKinney team with Keller Williams promises to work relentlessly to ensure that their clients achieve all of their real estate goals. Give them a call at 865-548-8267. Go see them online at ZillowKnoxville.com. You'll get more information when you do so. The winning team with the McKinney team, Keller Williams Realty. Ooh, the winning team, the McKinney team. Gotta love it.
Gotta love it.
If you're in the market for selling your home, trying to buy a home, they'll make everything smooth, guide you through the process. They are the proud sponsors of the phone lines here at Fan Run Radio. Looking at Twitter, some of this response to this conversation about Le'Veon Bell. Got a Spider Cam Cameron Black, he tweeted at me talking about Le'Veon's he said Le'Veon Bell's issue wasn't as much about his total money he was getting. He just wanted as much guarantee money as Todd Gurley.
Hmm.
From Bell's standpoint, I could see why him and his agent were pushing the Steelers for that, because he thinks he's as good, if not a better, running back than Todd Gurley. Gurley's got the youth edge on him, as we discussed. But Le'Veon Bell's saying, hey, I'm more than just a running back. Like, I'm this multi-use offensive, you know, once every few in a generation type of player.
I mean, yeah, in a way, I could see that.
He's going to get his money, man, but he probably won't win.
No.
That's what's going to happen, most likely.
I mean, he'll, like, end up somewhere like Miami, get the money he wants, but that team is just going to be trash. Somewhere like that. He'll get paid, which is obvious. That's all he cares about. It's obvious. Mm-hmm. It's obvious. He doesn't care about winning. He doesn't care about being a good teammate. He doesn't care about anything but his bank account, which, I mean, that's fine if he wants to, but...
Yeah, it's totally not bad if you do that. Some people will consider it selfish, and there's been some selfish players do stuff like that. That's all they care about, but at the same time, I mean, it is a business. It is a profession now.
Yeah.
Trying to get paid.
Sure.
So you're looking after yourself. You're looking after your family.
Yeah.
You're looking after your own interests. So, I mean... You can't completely blame him.
No. You kind of can. He could have handled this situation.
It could have gone a lot better.
Entirely different.
See, the more it dragged on, and
the worse it got, and the more yeah. and more distant that Le'Veon Bell got as time went on, mm-hmm. it just started making everything worse. Now, if he would have called like a players only meeting and been like, look, this is what's going on, this is what's happening, and explains himself, like, I'm sure the players would have been like, okay. That's fine, but just the keeping them in the dark and all, then not responding to the guy the only quarterback you've played with in the NFL,
mm-hmm.
just it did not handle it very maturely.
Staying with the NFL, a story we did not get to yesterday because it broke just kind of like so late that we couldn't really like talk about that much. But the big Monday Night Football matchup taking place between the Chiefs and the Rams, two of the best teams in the NFL. Possible Super Bowl preview. It was going to take place down in Mexico City, one of the NFL's annual games down there in Mexico. It's been moved. It's been moved to L.A. because the field positions at Estadio Azteca. Oh, my God.
Did you see the pictures?
I'm looking at another one right now.
They're like black.
It looks like it's been shelled by a mortar fire.
Yeah, that's exactly what it looks like.
It's terrible.
Like, I don't understand... Like, was there a fire? Like, how is the grass black unless it was A, spray painted, or B, there was a fire of some, or explosion of some sort? Unless it's just mold.
It just said rainfall. It said there
was. Can mold grow on grass? I don't know. Is that a thing?
I don't know. I'm not a groundskeeper.
I'm not either.
But there's just so much rain down Mexico City, it just completely turned that field into mush.
Oh, so it's not.
Because it's grass, yeah.
Oh, so it's just mud.
Yeah, but it was, like, so bad. I mean, not just mud. I mean, that's just...
Oh, yeah. Well,
it just ruined the sod and
make
everything.
It look like what you said. Like, there was a round of mortar shells that got shot on the 50-yard line.
But players, they weren't going to play in this game.
Yeah, they were threatening to sit out.
They were going to sit out this game. NFL knows that this is going to be one of their biggest money-making games. And they're like, okay.
What happens? Do they have to refund all of those... Mexico City tickets?
There's going to be a bunch of like refunds they're going to have to do. There's a bunch of stuff they're going to have to switch because this was almost a logistical nightmare.
There's only one Mexico City game a year, correct?
Pretty sure.
It's not like London. They don't do London anymore, do they?
What do you mean?
Like, did they have a game in London last weekend?
They had two so far.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize it.
The Titans were one of them.
Well, I knew that. I'm saying like last weekend. Like, I didn't see a 9:30 kickoff.
No, I don't think so. I think there was only two.
Oh.
And then Eagles-Jags was the other one.
Said they're still going to announce the refund policy for the game in Mexico City. They're going to announce that in the coming days. The Rams will be providing thousands of complimentary tickets to the first responders and to those who have been affected by the wildfires out in Southern California. Good move by them.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
Really great move by them. Good move to... you know, make it a positive situation, everything that was going on down here with this field in Mexico City. The NFL has a procedure in place that states all teams that forego a home game to play internationally, as the Rams did, are required to keep their home stadium available just in case they need it. So they were ready to move this tailgate in case something happened. And this something was just a field being turned into absolute mush. I mean, that's terrible. That's terrible. I've never seen a field look that bad. Like, have you? Like, at a level that's supposed to be a professional level? I've seen some high school fields look that bad.
So, was there nothing they could do to, like, hop on this and prevent it?
I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue. I'm still trying to get a bunch of details
about
the movies.
Clearly, they have drainage issues.
You would think.
If it's mudding.
Oh, yeah. Try switching to turf next time is what I would do, too.
Yeah, maybe.
Because that's been absolutely... Oh, so, yeah. Yeah, this is still a bit of a logistical nightmare here. The Rams, they have to get new security, concessions, and all the other aspects lined up to host this on Monday. Thankfully, this is a Monday and not a Sunday game. Gives them an extra day to prepare. Man, USC is going to play, USC plays at the Rose Bowl on Saturday against UCLA. Not many other sporting events taking place in LA, so that's going to help them a lot more.
Oh, yeah.
The fact that USC didn't have to play a game at Memorial Coliseum, and man, just, ugh. The playing surface, it was, it's actually not a natural grass surface. It's a hybrid now. It's like a hybrid grass turf.
Then how? I don't.
It says it hasn't been ideal for several months, by the way, so this isn't something that just came out of nowhere. Concern about it grew, however, in recent days when aerial photos of the stadium showed serious damage to the grass, particularly on the end of the stadium recently used for a major concert. So they had a concert, too, and that did not help the surface. You would have to think with concert, stage equipment, people.
Yeah.
Probably messed it up a little bit, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Man,
well, a professional soccer team plays there, right?
Yeah, Cruz Azul.
So, they had any games there recently?
Liga MX, they played a tournament game on Saturday in noticeably poor field conditions.
Hmm.
Yeah, the coach of that team expressed concern over the field, and then the NFL was trying to work with groundskeepers, but they just realized there was no way it was going to get fixed.
There was no way.
Yikes. But, man, that field,
could have been a nightmare.
That field, though, it looked like a Civil War battle.
Did not look good, no.
Yeah, but
yeah,
did not look like an NFL game.
You were expecting to
there.
See trenches dug in, barbed wire. It's like
absolutely.
A no man's land. Oh, they'll move that game to L.A. Should still be a fantastic game.
Mm-hmm.
Should be a fantastic game. Cannot wait for that. And good news, you don't have to worry about the safety of the players playing on a field that terrible. So, score one for safety right there. 865-546-8200. We got one more segment of the first hour of overtime. DB has to leave at 7 o'clock here. So, switch things up a little bit. We got birthdays. Coming up next, stick with us here on Overtime.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
Time for birthdays here a little early because Daniel Brackman has to jet here. Let's see if he can get a win in birthdays before he goes. November 14th. Oh, have some faith. Have some faith in yourself. Only got three. So, an abbreviated day. Boys, the names aren't that good. They're not that good.
Nothing.
You have nothing to say?
Ah, no. Well, you told us earlier. You warned us.
All right, let's get down to it here. 44 years old today. He is an American reality TV star. Does a lot with Home Improvement. It's him and his wife.
Chip Gaines.
Yes, Chip Gaines. Chip and Joanna.
Home Improvement. I thought that was Tim Allen.
It's a Home Improvement show.
Oh. Okay,
sorry.
I got you.
HGTV. Or what's that show called?
Fixer Upper.
Fixer Upper, okay.
Yeah, stopped shooting it last year. They're actually about to possibly get their own extension of Discovery Network soon. Like their own...
Really?
Mini network, yeah.
So they're that popular?
So not just a show, but like their own channel.
That's actually insane.
Yeah.
Hey, more power to them.
I'm a big fan. Big fan.
I've only watched what I've watched when my girlfriend's watching it because she loves HGTV.
I used to binge them on Netflix.
Really?
Yeah, I love them, man.
You would just watch Fixer Upper.
Well, I mean, me and my girlfriend. But then me too sometimes. Just me.
Fair enough. Okay, you're 43 years old today. He's an American drummer. Drummer for Blink 182. He's done collabs with like rappers.
You got me.
Who has he collabed with? He's known for like he's got like a bunch of tats. He used to have like a big mohawk. He doesn't anymore. Who has he collabed with? He's collabed with like Asher Roth. He's collabed with Yellow Wolf.
Macklemore?
Drummer for Blink 182.
Yes.
Oh, Travis Barker.
Yes, Travis Barker. Never heard Travis Barker, DB? Ah.
I haven't heard anything from him in a long time.
Yeah, me neither. Okay, I'm looking at who he's collabed with. He's collabed on a Pitbull song.
Nah. Really?
Interesting.
Wasn't he married to, didn't he have a famous wife? Or girlfriend, something?
Probably. Let me look at who he's been married to.
I feel like he was.
Not married.
But girlfriend or?
Let me look at relationships.
Am I just making it up?
Rita Ora? Is that who it is? That's the only notable one I see right here.
Okay, I guess not. I guess I'm thinking of somebody else.
Could be thinking of Benji Madden from Good Charlotte. He's married to Cameron Diaz.
Oh.
Is that who you're thinking of?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
Kind of similar. All right, last up here. 70 years old today. He is English royalty. He's the son of
Harry
the Queen.
Winston.
Who's the son of the Queen.
Charles.
Yeah. Prince Charles.
Oh, wow.
Prince Charles.
Going down like,
you got it.
Still a prince. Man, that's
Prince
sucks.
Charles.
I don't think his life sucks too bad.
I mean, no. But.
Charles, Prince of Wales. He is the heir apparent to the British throne. Whenever Queen Elizabeth finally croaks,
she's never going to die.
Probably not.
Never going to die.
He's old enough to where like he could like legit die before his mom. He's 70.
How old is she?
She's got to be
90.
Yeah, 90 something.
Let me look. 92.
Wow, dude.
That's
incredible. What a lady.
She has been married to Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh, since 1947. Both are still alive. Long, happy.
Man, still a prince.
71 years of marriage. He got the son just like, I need to be king. I want to be king. Can't
still
be king.
Still a prince at 70.
It's an old prince. Definitely not Prince Charming anymore.
No. Real quick, another birthday today. Our very own QB, Jarrett Garantano.
Oh, that's true.
This is his birthday.
Happy birthday, JG.
How did I not see that?
I've seen it all day on Twitter.
Okay, I've somehow missed that. Well, happy birthday to the battle captain. Not Fulmer, but
on the field.
Our current battle captain.
It's also his parents' wedding anniversary, which I thought was interesting.
Well, how about that? November 14th. What a day.
Big day for Garantanos.
Big day for him. Well, happy for him. DB, have fun doing wherever. You look very spiffy.
Thank you.
I wish we had Periscope working
so
people could see you.
Looking sharp.
Take this break here. End of hour number one. Hour number two of Overtime back when we return.